It is true that Jesus does save us. As we just sung that song, we recognize the fact that God is the Savior of all men, those who will believe and obey and trust Him in His Word. And that is the basis of all of our salvation, that God, through His Son, Jesus, died on the cross. Jesus sent it. Jesus was the one who died on the cross for our sins. Tonight I have a lesson that talks about a peculiar resource that we need to cultivate, that we need to make sure and provide for the future of this congregation. We think about how young people are important to God. And we think about how in this lesson, though, I'm really not going to leave anybody out, because I want to incorporate the older generation and how we can work together with the young generation. How that young people are important to God. How that is something that we all need to think about as we worship God together and service in His kingdom together. That is something that God wants us to be concerned about. The young people who will one day will have to pass the torch to them in their service toward God. And how do we know that young people are important to God? Well, the Bible tells us that they are important to us. As Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 tells us, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And he's talking about those who are young people. That we need to think about God and service to God and really be reinforced in that while we are young. Don't wait till you're older and do that. But God says, "Remember me now." And therefore, it will help you in all of your ways. If we will do that from our youth up, we'll have a good foundation to serve God all the days of our life. In Psalms 119, verse 9, here the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And the Bible gives us the answer to that question right in that very same verse. It says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And he answers the question by saying, the Word of God will help us. If you want to know how you can live a life of holiness while you're young, how it is that you can give up sin, and you look to God's Word to teach us how it is possible. Without God's Word, it's impossible to do that anywhere else but going to God in His Word. And so we want to look at tonight, like I said, we're going to look and see how important to God the young generation is. And all of us are important. In the scheme of redemption and worship and work of the church, all of us as a congregation, as a unit working together, and how it is the unity of the body of Christ works together when we all come together with the same mind and same purpose, with a mind to work for God as we should. That's what this lesson is going to be about this evening. Let's look at some biblical examples of young people in the Bible. You think about what God, how He's used young people at times. We think about how Joseph was a young man and how he was one who was sold into slavery at a very early age. And because of that, he understood that he was still going to serve God no matter what happened. And that was that even though he was in slavery in a far land, away from his parents and every influence that was good, he still served God as a young man. And even when there was times when sin was available, he resisted that because he was dedicated and committed to God. We need young men like Joseph who will say no to sin, will serve God with a whole heart, and be committed and dedicated all of their life. Joseph was one who did that. Then there was Samuel. Samuel, the young man who was a young boy, when his mother Hannah had given him to the priest Eli. When after he was weaned, he was a servant to the high priest, or the priest there, Eli. And it was that God worked with Samuel, and he was a prophet of God. And he gave Eli a very distressing but needful message through the mouth of Samuel. Samuel told him, because of his two sons, that he was unfaithful in some response of not dressing the need of his two sons. And Samuel was who led the people in the right way until the first king. He was the one who anointed the first king of Israel. And we look at David also, a young shepherd boy. We think about how young people, sometimes we may neglect and think, oh, they're too young to do things. But David was a man of great valor, was great bravery. That he was one who had slew a lion and a bear. And he was one who was the one who slew Goliath, the giant, with a stone. And we see how later on he was the second king of Israel, I should say. And he was one who served God with all of his heart.
And he was a man after, the Bible says, after God's own heart. And so David was one who was young and even to his old age, served God faithfully. And that's what we need to do, is to think about our young people in that respect, to doing this all of their life. And even Esther, the one who was a young lady, she was one who saved her people from a fate. When they were foreign soldiers wanting to destroy all of her people, Esther interceded and told her not to do, told the king that she was one also, and confessed that she was an Israelite. At the very risk of her life, she risked everything to save her people. And that's bravery, that's commitment, that's dedication to her people. And she is to be committed and rewarded for that. God will reward her one day for that service that she did for her people. And that was also Josiah, the young king of Israel. He was one of Judah that was at 8 years old, began to serve God. And it was when he was 16 years old. He began to really start to make changes. And then he took the leadership of the kingdom and decided they weren't going to serve idols anymore. Josiah had done so much to reform, even in his old age. He found the book of God that had been lost for some time. He found it in the temple. He began to construct the temple. And it was there that he found the book of God and decided they were going to do everything that book said. And had a feast and everything like it never was before, because they had left God. The kings before them had left God, and they had left the service of God at that time. Then we get to the New Testament. There where young Timothy was a traveling evangelist with Paul. He was a companion with Paul, and he was the one who was a good example for young people today. How that if you want to learn what it is to be a good minister of Christ, maybe someday stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel, why not look at Timothy, young Timothy, who was possibly a teenager at that time when he was writing to first began to go with Paul. And it was that Timothy was a great servant of God. He was one that Paul even complimented and said, I have no one mindful of Timothy about their cause. And such was the case. Timothy was a great man of God. Someone for us to emulate. Someone all of us can see the worth of looking to someone who's young, but yet who wants to do the right thing and preach the gospel. And speaking of Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, here Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Now he's talking about what the duty of responsibilities of preaching is all about to young Timothy. He says, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And all that refers to how he would be a preacher, an evangelist. He would have to be an example of believers in those ways. And it was something that for a young person, they weren't used to, maybe someone that young, being that active and being that involved in the work of God, in the kingdom of God. Maybe some, because of prejudices against young people, would not really like to see that and would even despise their youth. You know, the New American Standard Bible tells us about that verse 12, the beginning of that verse 12 says, let no one look down on your youthfulness. And young people, just because you're young, doesn't mean you're not worthy and useful in the kingdom of God. Not useful in his laboring in his fields of work and endeavor. And so all of us need to not look down on young people, but to look up to them. And inspire them to be all that they can be in the service of God. All of us can have talents and things we can bring to God's kingdom. All of us have usefulness. There is no useless person in God's kingdom. Now, if you are a child of God, no matter what age you are, young person or not, you need to get yourself ready to work in God's kingdom. But there are times when some young people may be discouraged when they're young, or may have a lack of confidence because of a lack of what? Of experience, knowledge, and ability. There are times when you're first starting out doing things for God that you may have a lack of experience. And knowledge is not where it ought to be after years of study. You know, we can understand that when you first start out doing these things, you can grow in these things. That's one thing that God tells us. Ability, knowledge, and experience comes with time. You know, don't think because overnight that you're not ready to go out and preach your first gospel sermon. One thing you need to realize is that takes time. It takes effort on your part and really studying God's Word and really knowing that once you get that confidence, you can quote scriptures and get ready to get up in the pulpit and know God is with you because you have the experience. You have the ability and knowledge of His Word inside of you. We might have realized that that's something that we hide the Word of God in our hearts in order to do that. You know, the more you know of God's Word, the more confident you are to do the work of God. And these, like I said, these are things we grow into in order to serve God in His kingdom. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul speaks about why we have the services of the church like the way it is today. He says in verse 11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That word for, as we understood from this morning, gives the reason. It gives us how it is that it is this way. And it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why we study the Bible. That's why we have preaching services, because we're trying to equip each other, trying to perfect each other to do the work that God gives us that we're to do as a body of Christ. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, we understand that we don't expect someone who's a boy, you might say, to be able to drive a car yet. You know, that's why there is a training process. That's why there is, you might say, the permit. And then all of a sudden you have a couple months go by, you train and you learn how to do things with a vehicle. You realize how to park in the side of the road there, how to parallel park. All that is trying to equip you to be able to get out in a vehicle and drive a vehicle. And we understand that takes time. And overnight, we cannot expect to do great things until we've had the knowledge and experience here. But here the Bible tells us in verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him all things, which is the head, even Christ. And like I said, there's a growing process here. Like we understand those who are the young people, let's be patient with them and let them to grow and be what they can be. And in time, they will be able to have this ability to do this on their own and preach the gospel and do take over the work of the church as God wants us to do. But young people are important to work in the kingdom of God. And one thing they bring to the table is this. They have, a lot of times, enthusiasm and zeal that is unbounded at times because everything is fresh, everything is new to them, and they're working on their first sermon. They're working on their first Bible lesson. All that they can do with a great amount of enthusiasm. That's what we all understand. Zeal is what God wants. The Bible teaches us what zeal is, or the definition is eager desire or effort, earnest enthusiasm. And that's what we all need to have. There are times when our zeal is lagging. We need to be understand that God wants us to be zealous. The Bible teaches us in Titus chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible tells us that God purified unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, or zealous for good works, as other translations have. And so what is the zeal that we ought to... is a burning fire within us. It ought to be that we can't wait to get out and share with our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers what we learned in Bible study, what we learned in what the preacher talked about. That ought to be more important than anything else, than whatever's on TV or whatever we might listen to on the radio, the songs. What ought to be important to us is working in the kingdom of God. And that is something that young people can do, and they can have a zeal of God, but they have to control that zeal. Romans 10, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And I want to incorporate this evening those who are older in the generation, that how we need to help them, guide them in their zeal. Because zeal without knowledge can be a very dangerous thing. That there are times when young people may want to go in the wrong direction. Maybe want to change things that should not be changed. And that's where apostasy happens. When zeal gets out of control, there may be things that we can change, but there's no things we cannot change. And with the gospel, to take for instance this, we can change the time of services or maybe meet on other times. That's matters of judgment. But matters of doctrine, we can never change and be right with God. And so that's matters we understand that zeal we need. All of us need to be zealous. And all of us need to be working in God's kingdom together. But then also young people are important because of this. You know, the youth of today can reach their peers with the gospel. There are times when young people can talk to other young people and they have more influence over them than others who are of older generation. There are times because of a generational gap that we really don't have things in common with our youth. And that we are not because of anything on our part, but simply that way because there's a different generation there. But, you know, the youth who are the peers, and what I'm saying is those of their same age, the same, you know, they have a lot of things in common. They have all kinds of things they're doing together in common with schoolwork and such. They are on the same level as those of their peers. And they can relate and listen to each other. And that's something very important because we need to be able to listen. That's one thing that's a key to any evangelism effort, is that we need to learn to listen to people and talk to them and really share the most pressing need they have is that of the gospel, that of the salvation of their souls. And we need to get our young people involved in evangelism. Lead them to that point where they want to talk to their friends and their neighbors and even their schoolmates about the gospel and say, you know, we're studying a lot in at school, but we could also study the Bible together. That'd be a wonderful thing to have the Bible to talk about spiritual things more than anything. That's really the most important thing. Is our spiritual walk with God. It's good to learn about mathematics and science and everything else. And that's good. We need to know those things. We also need to share more than anything else the knowledge of God. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Young people have a part in the Great Commission. That's what Jesus gave to all of us, young, old, middle age alike. All of us need to be workers and evangelist as much as our abilities and talents will allow us. And so all of us need to be able to reach our friends and our co-workers. Never stop the idea of evangelism. No matter what age you are a benefit in this area. There's no age limit. If you're a child of God, you can begin to evangelize right now. Don't wait. Don't take the myth that you have to wait till later. The devil wants us to think that we have to wait till later to evangelize the world. But the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 9, verse 37, 38, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That tells us that we need to be part of that laborers because there's only few doing the work of evangelism. And he says in verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. There is a harvest of souls. And our young people can help in this work. They can do what they can to help us to reach and teach the lost wherever they are. And young people are important to the work of God in His kingdom. You know, they can be a good example. Youth can be a good example on their friends and their neighbors and their peers. As they are their maybe their schoolmates, those who are tempted to do things that are wrong, they can say no to these things and be a good example. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul told Timothy to be a good example to the believers in work and conversation, in charity and in spirit and faith and in purity. All that is talking about how we need to be examples to each one, not just believers, but also to unbelievers. You know, we start out being a good example to those who are Christians, and that goes off into being good examples to those who are in the world as well. And that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. I want you to turn over in your Bibles and look and see what Jesus says about the influence of a child of God. And I want you to look in light of our young people and how they are good examples of this very thing. Here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 beginning, Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. And what Jesus is saying is, we need to be the salt of the world, but we need to also stay as salt. We cannot lose our saltiness and expect to influence the world in that way. Because salt that loses its savor is good for nothing, as Jesus says. And so, young people, you need to bear the temptations of a world that wants you to go in the wrong direction. There's one thing I understand is that young people can go astray. It's easy to listen to your friends and do what they're doing. If they're doing things they shouldn't be doing, we can follow along right with them because we want to be friends with them. But the problem with that is there's a danger there. We lose our good influence whenever we fall within the crowd to do what the crowd is doing. And then we read on in verse 14. Here the Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And that teaches us a lesson there as well, that we need to be a light in a dark world. As Paul said in Philippians 2, we need to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's what our job is to do. Young, old, and all of us alike, our whole congregation of lights that shine in this wicked world today. And if we do that, we'll have a good influence on others. Like I said, our young people need to show the way to others. You know one thing, a person who's a young person who says no to certain things, they do stand out in this world today. Because I'll tell you, you listen to a lot of young people today, they'll say, well, everybody's doing these things. And really, in a lot of respect, they're right. Everybody, their friends who are not Christians, maybe are doing these things. But we need to show them, young people, that it's right to say no to sex outside of marriage. That they don't have to give in to that temptation. Those temptations do things that are wrong, that are wicked. And we understand that not all sex is wrong, but all sex outside of marriage. It is right inside of marriage, but wrong outside of that bounds of marriage. When it comes to drugs and alcohol, we need to teach our young people to say no to that first drink. Don't give in to pressures to do things, drugs, that you're going to regret later because you ruin your reputation by doing these things. You ruin your good influence by doing these things. Don't use foul language. And what I mean by this is don't use the four-letter words, the colorful words this world has to use all the time. Stay away from that. And God will be pleased with your life that way. Be an example to those in this world. And then when it comes to immodest dress, you know, the world wants to dress the way that's immodest. You can say no to that and realize God will be pleased because you're daring to be different than this world. You can do something the world can see and say, you know, that's the way God wants me to live my life. You can show them the way God wants them to live. And so we see God wants us to show people what is true, what's right, what's noble for them to follow. And I have a few exhortations to young people this evening. I want you to think about some things I want to really drive home to our young people this evening. And I also have some for the older generation as well. Some exhortations. First of all, because you are important to God, I want you to know this one thing. Make God important to you. If anything else you get from this lesson tonight, realize this. God wants you to obey Him. You are special to Him. You're important to Him, but you also need to make Him important to yourself. You need to thank God as being the most important thing that you do in your life. And that means making God a priority. But put service in God's kingdom first. Make it a priority. Matthew 6:33 tells us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And what Jesus is saying is, you put the kingdom, the rule that God has for us, you put God's in His kingdom first. You live a right life in that kingdom. And you know that God will take care of us. All of our needs will be supplied when God is first in our lives. And no matter what you're doing, whether it's schoolwork, you know, it's important to do the schoolwork. When it comes to living a life and all the dating relationships, all that, you know, you have a lot of things going on in your life. There's a lot of time of busyness. I understand that. But young people, put God first. Make Him the priority of your life above all other things. And God will be pleased with your life. And one thing I'd also exhort them to do is don't procrastinate or make excuses why you're too busy or to do this or that or other. You know, don't procrastinate. Put off what you need to do. In James chapter 4, verses 13 to 16, the Bible tells us here not to make plans and procrastinate. Here in verse 13, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." What he's saying is don't be presumptuous. Don't think that you've got all the time in the world to make plans in the future like this, because we need to realize we don't really have all the time we think we have. But verse 14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." There's something about the uncertainty of life. You know, tomorrow is far away. And we don't know what will happen tomorrow. But we do know what we can do is right now. We can use that time right now. Here the Bible tells us, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away." You see how that's life is so brief. Don't make any excuses or procrastinate why you shouldn't put off things or put off things until... be committed and dedicated and zealous now as God would have us to do. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 tells us this: "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." I want to end with say some things to the older generation. We need to love and encourage our young generation of young people. Encourage them all we can to do right and live right. Be willing to give them a chance to serve. It was so wonderful to see Wednesday night those who are young participate. Give them a chance, like an opportunity to serve God, and they will. Teach them all of your knowledge, because they need that, because they will be the future of the church. You know, one day we're going to have to pass the torch on to the younger generation. We realize that's something that all of us, because of time and age, all that will happen. It's something that's inedible, because our life here is temporary on this world. And we need to pass the torch to them that they're ready to do that. Be able to receive that torch. In other words, be ready to serve God in His kingdom and His ways. If you're here this evening, you're not a child of God. We've been talking about young people this evening. It's never too early, as long as you know right from wrong, to obey the gospel and do what's right. And even those who are older, there's times we can become unfaithful and realize we've got to repent and get back to serving God faithfully. And the Bible has a plan prepared for that as well, is when we repent and come back to God through prayer and even repentance of our sins. But the Bible tells us without faith is impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Repentance of our sins is a command of God. Acts 17, verse 30. And that we must confess Christ to be the very Son of God, and one we cannot live without even one day. But you know what? Baptism is what puts us into Christ. As Brother Ward said this morning, all these other commands are unto, but into Christ is what we're baptized into. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, we can help you to become one. And you can live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you come as together we stand and sing the song of invitation?